We're ready to get going. Good evening. It's Wednesday night and 7 o'clock, and it's time for HBM Revisited. Tonight we're joined by Ivan, back by popular demand.
I doubt it.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe
whatever.
Not. And we're going to be working on Chapter 6 tonight. Chapter 6 is Beginning Work. It's a very dynamic chapter, and I hope you have a chance to join us in. Chapter 5 was Beyond Personal Enhancement. I had reread that again tonight, and I was just wondering if anybody had any further questions on Chapter 5, or are we ready to launch into Chapter 6? Okay. So to start with, maybe Simon, you can get us started by reading the header.
Yeah, certainly. Hold on a second. Let me get these things. All right. Chapter 6, Beginning Work. The purpose of beginning work is to bring the machine into the waking state and to enable it to function as a transformational apparatus. Transformation is not an aim in itself, but a stepping stone to a whole new way of life, which we seek.
Okay, so the author of this book, The Human Biological Machine as a Transformational Apparatus, E.J. Gold, has walked us along very carefully in the first few chapters, including first three chapters were about how to even evaluate our situation. And then we're slowly being moved into a different way of looking at our work. And in chapter 6, the way I look at it, he hits us very strong. He hits us strong and says, here's what your work is. Here's what you can do now. There's no equivocation about it. There's no mystery here. There's not a mystery. What is being said to us, here is our work, and here's what you can do. If you want to work and if you want to come to awakenness, that's what we're faced with in Chapter 6 here. And as I've often put it, it's like these ideas are almost too simple for the human mind. So there've been a number of comments that were left on the website, and the website once again is wingsofchaos.com, and if you'll find HBM there, and we're on Chapter 6, and we had a nice opening comment actually by Sandra Eggers, and I'd like to read that to get us going. The very first exercise given by EJ in practical work on self is the following. Using your ordinary visual apparatus, which is to say the eyes, following as intensely as possible the motion of the second hand of a clock, at the same time trying to sense your presence within the machine, including the sound, smells, temperature, humidity, and the general ambient atmosphere of the environment, at the same time becoming acutely aware of the constantly changing sensations of the biological machine, the sensations resulting from thoughts passing through the mental apparatus, and the emotions which happen to be proceeding presently within the machine. She continues, it must be taken seriously that it is necessary to develop discernment by developing the senses, making them more sensitive, refining their abilities to make distinctions before the machine can be awakened. So that's what we're faced with here. Yeah. Okay, so I'll launch into just reading parts of the chapter, and Ivan, just jump in. The purpose of the majority of our special exercises is not particularly mysterious. It is the aim of all our beginning work to bring the machine to life, to raise ourselves from its hypnotic and compelling biological fixations, to shake off the coils of desire, our immersion in its wasteful sleep, thus producing from the ordinary human machine a functioning transformational apparatus. This is like a wow. This is a wow moment. It's a aha. We are brought into this life. We're given a machine, a human biological machine, and through the efforts used in applying our attention, we can convert it to something that is a transformational apparatus that allows us to begin our transformational path. That's what we're talking about here. So that's the chapter. That's what we're headed into. Since the transformational process is cumulative, the periods of awakening add up. In a sense, it makes no difference how often the machine falls back asleep or for how long. Nothing is lost. All we must do is remember to awaken it again by whatever means are necessary to bring it back to life. So let's stop there again. How does one begin to awaken the machine? How do we awaken the machine? Comments, please. So we got a hint from Sandra.
Discernment.
Discernment is?
Refining perception.
Refining perception.
Self-observation.
And self-observation. That's one that we can certainly do at any time. We can reflect on the machine. And try that exercise right now. As you're reading, maybe be reading the book, you're just listening, watching the comments maybe online. What is going on? Observe your machine right now. Place your attention on the machine. And what happens? Very distinct. Do it again. What happens?
Dogs start barking.
Bring your attention back once again. Each of those moments is a cumulative effort. They're very small, incremental changes, but it's cumulative. And jumping ahead a little bit, transformation is a stepping stone to the work, a special way of life which is possible for us only after our essential selves have been awakened, have been transformed, and our machines are more or less stable in the awakened state.
Sounds like a tall order to me. More or less
stable.
Stable in the awakened state. One with what?
Her machine. Did you get that, Simon?
Sorry, not very well. That was very low. Could you repeat?
What are the comments online?
Not much. Not. It's just been listening and greetings and nothing specifically to the subject.
Now, what did Forepaws say, Jana? Can you read what Forepaws had to say, Simon?
Forepaws, it's a wonderful feeling being one with my machine.
So something is happening So we're talking about this strange, a more or less stable in the awakened state.
Well, yeah, it seems to me that's, there's a gap there. There's a big leap of work or a big stretch of work between, it doesn't matter how often you have the awakened state, you'll fall back asleep and you come back to the awakened state and you contrive somehow over and over again to bring the machine into the waking state. So this is a zigzagging process, or a process that's on, you know, it's on, off, on, off, on, off. And it's, it seems to me this is another step. I mean, it's another scale of work, another scale of, what do you call it? Another scale of experience for the waking state to be more or less stable in the awakened state. In fact, it seems to me that when you're going to go on now, it seems to me he backs off from that in a sense and says,
yes,
we're all at a beginning, this is called beginning work. We're all at the beginning stage in this work.
Okay. And we, but we can look to our fellow travelers and our fellow students, and we can see they may have hints for us about things that they can speak to.
Right.
And then we can say, oh, yes, they're working in the same manner that I am. Here's what I see.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I see. So we have this comment from Forepaws, which I'll expand on a little later. And then
so we have a, for what you read, we have a machine that has to be awakened, and
yes,
we have a essential self that is going to be transformed.
Yes. That's what we're dealing with. And as Ivan has said, you know, there's kind of a leap here. When our transformation is complete, the machine becomes a tool for work. It has cleared itself of those things that make it non-functional as a work tool. So as we work with this self-observation, applying the attention on the machine, it clears itself. There's this term, clears itself of things that make it non-functional. The work can only be seen and understood through awakened machine. So there's this strange term here in capital letter, the work. We cannot see the work if our machine is asleep. So one of the purposes of awakening the machine is to be able to study the work. What does he mean by the work? What is that? Anybody?
Sound of silence.
The sound of silence is beating us here. But we don't quite know what that means. We don't know what the work is, what this, what EJ is saying is the work. But at the moment, we don't know what it is.
Yeah, not only that, I think that we, I think you have to take into account, or I mean, you have to acknowledge that the author has introduced this term without a definition, deliberately.
Deliberately put it
without
before
a definition.
Us.
Yeah.
So, in a certain way, it's a very profound couple of paragraphs here, because in one fell swoop, he said, "Here's how you awaken the machine."
Right.
And when the machine is at a more or less stable state of awakeness, then you can begin to see the work.
Oh, wait a second. You can begin to see the work?
I have a couple of comments here.
Go ahead, Simon.
Agnivyaja. The work is the process of perfecting the being from return to return, meaning that from life return to a life return, I guess.
Okay.
And Silverdale, in the book of Reality of Being, the essential self is described as the life force which animates the human biological machine. The work is to make our awarenesses of this life force greater than our awareness of our human biological machine and historical personality. At this point, we are in an awakened state.
Okay, so if I understood Silverdale's comment right, he's saying that if we accumulate our awareness such where that we're more aware of the essential self than we are of the human biological machine, that our attention
right.
is starting to shift more permanently over to the essential self, we're a new person then. That's, we're heading, the balance has changed at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
The balance has changed. We are in a rare territory here. We are in rare territory. In life, people aren't even concerned about this.
Well, that's what an interesting thing about this chapter. I mean, those first couple of paragraphs of this chapter, it strikes me that it's a kind of a sleight of hand trick, you know, that Egypt pulled there, speaking of magic, that the, you know, what he's done is, in this context, I mean, in this paradigm or this process of the transformational use of the human biological machine, I mean, the outsider, the ultimate outsider becomes the ultimate insider. In other words, the black sheep.
Nice.
So, you know, the person who's detached from the, what is it, coils of desire, you know, from the hypnotic power of the biological directives, the primate directives, and so on and so on, you know, suddenly this person is, that's the, I'm trying to think of what do they call it, that's the anointed one, you know, this
yes.
is the person who's anointed for the path, you know, this is the person who can enter the path. It is like saying you have to be an outsider in regard to the ordinary life, because you have to detach from it.
We have to detach from it.
Not leave it.
Okay, this is the...
In this practice. Yeah, not leave it. Not absent your... I'm turning... Not transform your machine. It's not your machine life. It's being transformed. Because you're wanting to transform the essential self, the process has to do with detachment. Separation.
Okay.
I guess that's as far as I got with it.
Okay, that's okay. So we're talking about that... When the balance, if we go back and read Silverdale's comment, as the balance starts to change and we're more at home in the essential self,
mm-hmm.
something begins to change. I like that term. At that point, you are an anointed one. But look how much,
maybe, yeah.
how long it takes to get to that point.
Well, that's, you're talking about a lot of work. I mean, what I noticed, again, you're going to go on, what I noticed about this formulation in this chapter is that he's saying, he's not saying that the continuous, the stabilized waking state is needed to approach the work or to study the work. He's saying it's to become a tool, to become functioning in the work, you have to reach this plateau.
Correct.
But go ahead, you know, but in order to, so what's the use of the waking state prior to that? Well, the use of it is to glimpse, you know, to actually look at, to view that. The process, no, not the awakening process, but the work process.
In order to get into, I'm not that big a sports enthusiast, but take, like I believe football's going on right now.
Yeah, you're probably in company here of non-sports enthusiasts.
But think of what it takes. There are hundreds and thousands of players playing football on the high school level, and the best of those go to college and play on the college level.
Mm-hmm.
And only the best of those do they even get considered. So out of the tens of thousands of people trying that, only a very few get to that top level. But in order to even begin to get there, they've gone through a great deal of work, a tremendous amount of work and discipline. They use it to score touchdowns.
Right.
And maybe, so getting into the game, in a sense, takes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that at one point...
Comments?
Yeah, please, Simon.
Agnididaja, the self as a center of being is the realized self, awake. Lost horizon. Anytime our attention is self-directed instead of being led by the machine, could be classified as part of the work directed by the intention of the essential self.
Yep,
Silver
nice.
Dale. Yeah, nice. Silver Dale. In the reality of being, it is stated that 75% of our attention should be focused on the life force animating us. And 25% of our attention is directed to the human biological machine and its interaction with the environment. Our being has its arising in the blending of this 75% and 25% of the attention.
Wow.
Agni Vidalia. Attention directed on the life force is a realized being.
Yes.
Yes, we are talking about a lot of work.
So we can begin, but the fact is that we can begin. We have these tools available to us. I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit. I'm on the bottom paragraph of page 40 on the new edition, and it goes on, most of us here are still beginners and should therefore devote ourselves to beginning work. In our present state, before our transformation has occurred, our study is limited to the study and application of the various methods of awakening the machine. And then this next paragraph is very important. It is the task of a school to act as our temporary guide and to introduce us to the transformational apparatus, our true teacher, to help us develop a working relationship with the machine towards our possible evolution.
Mm-hmm.
That's staggering. Yeah. You read this stuff and you come back to it, and my gosh.
Yeah. David.
Yeah.
There is in your blog, there is one of the questions that you posed, it was, what is really the true teacher?
Yeah, so let's head around a little bit.
Yeah, so I think the true teacher, for what it says in the paragraph, I gather that is the awakened machine.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I mean,
it says, and to introduce us to the transformational apparatus, our true teacher. Is that what it means?
Yeah.
That is the awakened machine?
Others comment, please.
Orpaw says she's an ant watching us guys. Well, we have to work on a visualization on that.
So we're working on the question of what is the true teacher.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is, it seems to me that what he's referring to here is something different from the guide, which is often, I think when EJ writes the guide, he usually capitalizes it, like Bardo, you know, is capitalized. So the true teacher here is not being capitalized, but I think it's like saying that your own awakened machine is not your only guide or not the only guide that you're going to need, let's say, to do the work, but it's your true teacher in the sense that this is what's going to be, you're going to need to partner with. This is, it's like I think he says it in various ways in this book, that the machine has to lead you to the work.
Okay? Yeah.
It's not the sleeping machine, it's the machine, like he said, stabilized in the waking state. But it's like the essential self cannot get itself to the work.
Doesn't care.
The essential, I'm not sure if it cares or not. That might be another issue. But I think what it is the essential self doesn't have feet. Well, you know, it doesn't have appendages, and it actually doesn't have eyes. The essential self doesn't have eyes. The machine has eyes, and this and the post of post of Sandra's addresses that. It's like the organs, you know, the perception and the discernment and so on and so on. The sensitivities of the machine have to be put to use by the essential self, which has presence to inject into it, and will of attention.
And will of attention. We're going to see that in
things,
a few
yeah.
paragraphs.
But anyway, that's...
I'm going to repeat. I've been asked here to repeat the question.
Pardon?
I've been asked to repeat the question that I posed recently.
Go ahead.
And the question was regarding the paragraph that says, is the task of a school to act as our temporary guide, and the most important part is here, and to introduce us to the transformational apparatus, our true teacher. So the question here, for those who are looking for that, is what is the true teacher? What is meant by the true teacher for us? And my guessing in this case, that the true teacher in this case is the awakened machine, according to the text. That's what I read.
Okay.
I think it's your, I think that he's saying that it's actually your initiator. You see that the initiate, that an initiation that is required doesn't come from outside in the sense it comes from yourself with a capital S. It comes from the awakening machine has to provide a certain threshold doorway.
So for
into
our
another scale of work.
For our sake right now, and if you go onto the website, you're going to see that Sandra took a shot at trying to answer that question. Okay, so there's one there. And if you have comments, comment or answer her comments. But right now, so we have two concepts that have been put at our feet, so to speak, that we don't really have answers for, is what is the work? And the other one is, what is the true teacher?
Mm-hmm.
So we put those in our knapsack, and we proceed on as we can.
Right.
To awaken the factory and turn it toward its transformational function, knowledge, exact knowledge. We must know exactly which higher, lower and higher motor, reflexive, mental and emotional apparatus must be activated for each effect in the transformational process. Although the specific activities of the machine have no relation to its awakening, the awakening cannot be produced by any specific activities. Certain special exercises can help us to gain the will necessary to coax two attributes of the essential self into action in order to bring the machine into the awakened state. To gain the will. Curious. We will soon discover, as we begin to gather serious conclusive evidence of the machine sleep and the exact nature of this sleeping state, that the essential self, which is not in the sleeping state, but a state quite apart from anything belonging to the machine, possesses no attributes of its own other than its impartial presence and the simple will of attention, which in the early state is unexercised and therefore weak. So now we have our toolkit is beginning to form.
Mm-hmm.
We have the will of the machine and simple, its impartial presence. We have the will of the attention.
You mean the essential self.
The essential self
okay.
comes forth now. We will soon realize that in spite of its higher aims and aspirations, the essential self has no will in the ordinary sense, which it can compel the machine to living, to live according to its higher nature. And I'm going to jump ahead a bit here. Later on, by the way, we're going to be talking in the second paragraph on that page 42. We will talk more about the defense mechanism. That's chapter 19 in this book that we'll face. On the biological level, the human biological machine is a chemical factory, just like any other chemical factory, operating under the same basic chemical laws. It is regulated by very small electrical pulses coursing through the myoneurological system, which is to say the muscles and nerves. In addition, we must have some idea of how the factory operates, what it actually is, of what it is capable, and how to make it function as an apparatus for transformation of energy. So let's just stop there for a second. If you actually place your attention right now, turn your attention on your machine, just float the attention on the machine for the moment, and just see what happens. What do you observe about the energy? What do you sense about it? Grab it right there. Okay? What do you notice about the energy? What's the difference in the energy now compared to when the machine is fully asleep? That's a distinction that we can make, and we can make later. And then just jumping ahead slightly, because the awakened machine is the causative agent of transformation, exercises which are intended to directly produce transformation are not possible, and the results of such exercises are imaginary. Our exercises are intended strictly for the purpose of bringing the machine into the waking state, from which state it is possible to activate the transformational functions. This is where I think we need to place our attention. What is going on? What does it mean to activate its transformational functions? Okay, so we've been given the guide that says you awaken the machine. How do you awaken the machine? Through the will of attention. And if we place the attention on the machine, something happens. Very distinctive. And this is the exercise I think we should be working with as we go throughout the week here, is what goes on when you do that. And to me, it's very distinctive what occurs. Let's inch ahead then. If we expect to awaken the machine and activate it as a transformational apparatus, we must develop the higher faculty of discernment. We must recognize periods when the machine is awake, and more importantly, periods when it is not. And this is one of the exercises that I posed on the website is, what is discernment? How do you develop what's called the higher faculty of discernment? First of all, can anybody tell us what discernment is? Just any definition will be okay.
Being able to recognize when the machine's awake and when it's asleep.
So it's between, that's Mike, and that's between two different states. Can we distinguish the two? There's one individual, actually in the Southern California area, that suddenly noticed that there was a lot more presence occurring, that it just was kind of a surprise to her. And she's been working on this material for a long time. But she noticed that there was a lot more, that she was there a lot more. And one of the elements, she noticed a lot more energy.
Mm-hmm.
And she could distinctly understand that state that she was in. This is a critical element in our beginning work then. is to discern when the machine is awake and when it is asleep. And we've done that a couple of times here when I just said, place the attention on the machine. Do it again. Do it again. And as that habit, we're going to call it a habit at the moment, different kind of habit, as that habit grows on you, it'll become clear and distinct. What is that difference?
I have a good definition here as well of discernment by Theodor Dale. Discernment, to compare and contrast similar objects, ideas, feeling, etc., for the purpose of weighing, measuring, and numbering the differences.
Okay.
Agni Daya answers, there is a difference between distinguishing and discernment.
That sounded like a fairly technical definition.
Yeah. As I take it, for me, the discernment is being able to recognize something, to have the capability, the ability of recognition of something in different degrees, of course. There are different degrees of discernment. So there are different degrees of that capability of recognizing something.
Okay. I'm going to read a bit of the answer that Sandra gave on the website about discernment. It appears from what I gather that discernment, which is seeing or perceiving, is a faculty of the sense of sight in terms of seeing greater detail, which is necessary before the higher mind or even mentation can develop. That, in fact, the development of the senses and also control of any indulgence of the senses is absolutely necessary before discernment can be developed that is of any use. So any exercise that will refine and extend any of the senses, especially sight and hearing, because they are the most complex and last evolved in man, will develop discernment and lead to mentation, which will lead to higher mind. First of all, to be in the game at all, you have to develop the sense of discernment. You have to be in the game. You have to practice this.
Mm-hmm.
Discernment, I guarantee you, gets better as you go along. Your discernment will increase in its abilities and qualities as you use it, particularly as you apply it to whether or not the machine is in the waking state or not. And what I use is my tool of discernment is what I call my sensing mechanism. And it's an electrical sensing of what's going on in me and around me. And as I practice that more, it gets more and more finely tuned till it's very good now. It's always going to get better, but it's worthy, and it's a tool that I use and I can use.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to, what's being posed at the moment is that our work is to awaken the machine, but at the same time to develop the sense of discernment to know when it's awake and when it isn't. When we have that, that becomes a huge tool for us. Huge. Simply huge. Does anybody have a question on how discernment works for them, or how would you like to have a different sense of, like, maybe you have a question, how can I apply these ideas to myself now? What about me? Do I have discernment? Can I apply discernment? How do I place the attention on my machine? This is the challenge in the chapter called Beginning Work.
We have a comment here from Lost Horizon. Discernment is the perception rather than the mental aftermath of classifying, I think.
Good. That's good.
Discernment is directly related to the use of attention. It can only happen if you are paying attention. At the same time, and I agree with you, David, it's a skill that we, as we practice, it gets better and better.
Yeah.
It's a capability, an ability that it takes training. Then we are being able to, quote unquote, discern.
Mm-hmm. Once you have the tool of discernment, you can bring it in any area. Like a lot of people are working on developing their skills as magicians. And if you actually work on that, you can tell trick. Mm-hmm. And you can tell when your attention is off in doing the trick. You can feel it if you're doing like coin magic or something. You can feel that you're just not with it or that you are on it. And some people use this term being that you're in the groove. You're in the groove. How do you know you're in the groove? That's through discernment. And once you can sense and be in discernment, you can move into that. It becomes a form of a guide for you.
And I think this chapter ends with this. I mean, there's some other statements in here regarding, you know, that there's a difference between being adrenalized, let's say, or being, you know, carrying out something rapidly or efficiently, or, you know, like on the football field, for instance, or whatever. You know, there's a difference between the machine competence, let's say, or machine dominance abilities and habits and so on, and this actual carrying something out in a waking state, you know, being in a waking state,
mm-hmm.
and then having the sensations that go with that, feeling that it's different. And, you know, magic is a good example, but also, you know, dance, music, cooking, you name it. All the things that EJ works with, you'll find that discernment entering in.
And so the sensing mechanism becomes a critical tool for us as we're approaching, as we go along here.
Saying that, you know, you were touching on something that seems that could be very important. I mean, that the idea with that magic trick is that when you're on, if you feel like if you are entering into the waking state and doing a magic routine, let's say, and standing up before people doing stand-up comedy or whatever, there's aliveness to it. You know, I think it's an aliveness that you're looking for, which is an aliveness of the machine. It's the awakened state of the machine. What could you call it? Infectious. It has an influence then.
Okay, good.
You know, that goes to the people that you're performing.
Okay, very simply, why is it infectious?
Well, that's interesting.
Why? But we know that it is, right?
I've experienced that. You certainly experienced it with EJ. But, I mean, but a lot of the idea of this busking, for instance, in street work, is that even in ignorance, I mean, even in a complete machine, say, hypnotic state, more or less, you still can bring audiences. You can bring small, or say, to begin with, small groups of people into a more awakened state. It's a contact high, is what it is.
Okay,
they're
contact
getting it from
high.
You. It's a electrical phenomenon.
Yes, it is.
That you instigate, and then people who don't know what it is, or may or may not have experienced before, or may be unfamiliar with that in terms of a performance, or whatever that experience is that you're having with them, you know, they actually are going to feel that electrical phenomenon.
They're going to feel the electrical phenomena because we're talking about, to go back a few paragraphs, that how we're talking about the machine as a factory, how it operates, and how to make it function as an apparatus for the transformation of energy. the stuff of which our essential selves are made.
Right.
Okay. So if we can get ourselves into a position where we have can be in the waking state, that energy does have an effect on the other.
Right.
We're not trying to affect the other.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to be in ourselves and in the awakened state. So part of our job here is not only to understand how to awaken the machine, but so to speak, take it out for a ride. Can you awaken the machine when you're in the checkout stand at the store?
Right.
And the clerk is abusive to you? Can you stay and find the awakened state? How would you possibly find it? Through the practice of discernment. Okay? Good. Okay, what about this?
I hear that these two key words on that, which is sensing and the electrical feel.
Yeah.
I wonder, I have something to share about that too, in terms of the real feeling. I mean, how do you experience that electricity? I mean, it is literally, could you give some examples maybe of that sensing, in what way do you feel that sensing, or the electrical feel of these two, either machine or essential self?
Yes, you are. It's an actual feeling of the electrical body.
Yeah, I think it has to do with energy phenomena. I think there's sensations that you have intermittently. You know, you become more experienced with those sensations, and you recognize that there are higher energy sensations. You know, there's sensations of, you know, it's not like, you know, static electricity crackling around your body, but it is a sensation that you detect or you observe in yourself when something is happening that's out of this, that's away from the sleeping state of the machine.
I'm asking you that because regarding basically the exercise of the awakening the machine that David was describing, remember David, dropping the facial mask?
Yes.
And you were saying brush the left eyebrows and do the other one and little by little. I do practically myself, I practice something which is I try to sense my whole body doing the same exercise.
Good.
From the point of my feet until the top of my head. And I perceive and I start feeling the electricity going inside of my body all around. So my body feels charged. And it's literally a sensation of electricity inside.
That's correct. We are electrical beings.
So there is a classic, I think it's very straightforward example of, if it is correct, that how I feel, I'll sense my electrical body.
Sounds right to me.
Okay.
And there's a marked difference in the machine, in the sleeping machine, the quality of energy versus the quality of energy when the machine is awakened and acting as a transformational apparatus.
Yeah, the issue there is the what is dominant. You know, what is holding sway? What is having the influence? So I believe, I mean, if I understand you correctly, if I understand what Simon is saying correctly, he's talking about sensations that he picks up by self-observation. And so, you know, those sensations would not be present in a complete state of sleep of the machine. Because there has to be the essential self. Some attention is operating in order for him to perceive those sensations. To sense the sensations.
Yes. Oddly enough, the sensations are there.
Right.
But we're unaware of them in the sleeping machine.
Okay,
they're just blasting away.
Yeah, that I'd have to give some thought as to whether, you know, as to whether the, let's say, greater electrical flow and so on is present.
An electrical flow.
And there is an electrical, there must be an electrical flow.
Or we'd be dead,
Right. So, what about, David, let me see, I don't know how close we are to the end of this class, but the...
Go ahead, Ivan.
What about this statement here? There's something very significant here toward the end of this chapter. If we think the machine is already awake, we will not work to awaken it. And by acting as if it is awake, we will obtain no real results and could spend our lives producing imaginary results. Also, we could easily hurt ourselves and others by trying to do something in sleep as if we were awake. Now, I wonder how people interpret that. I mean, that's a very cautionary paragraph there, a very cautionary statement. It's the fourth paragraph from the end. I mean, what do you think he's cautioning us against here?
Well, to use well our discernment, but to make sure that if we are going to do something, we are in that awakened state, that the machine is awakened.
Right, and then to use, he's also addressing the use of the waking state also.
But he says if we think the machine is already awake, we will not work to awaken it.
Yeah, this is where the failure of discernment is involved. If you're failing to discern this, but you know, then he's saying, I think again, an association of mine or an interpretation. This danger, spending our lives producing imaginary results, we could easily hurt ourselves and others by trying to do something in sleep as if we were awake. This is this phenomenon of the book called Halfway Up the Mountain that was written by a student of Lee Lazarus.
Ivan, I got something. Agni Vidal is asking, how can you hurt? How can you hurt somebody?
Let me just finish the thought. Mariana Kaplan, student of Loswick's, wrote this book called Halfway Up the Mountain, which is quite a thick tome. It's about two or three times as long as this present book we're reading. And this book is full of accounts and anecdotes of students of spiritual teachers who decided that they were enlightened and then went off to be teachers on their own, largely with disastrous results. It's a compendium of contemporary accounts of people who misunderstood spiritual teachings and in many cases misapplied them. You know, I mean, to give credit where credit is due, in some of her stories, she describes people who realize, you know, after presenting themselves as enlightened beings and gathering followers and so on, some of them realize, oh my gosh, this is a complete error. This is really foolish, and I got to stop doing this. But she tells stories about a lot of individuals who have done or are doing exactly what AJ is describing here, which is very possibly hurting their alleged student, you know, their disciples or students that they've gathered by doing something quite asleep, you see, as if it were enlightenment or presenting teachers. Anyway, that's what I associate with.
Yes, sure.
Which is to say, you know, it's like saying that if I decide that, that I can get into a certain state by oming, you know, for an hour in the morning, you know, or I can do certain yogic postures and then I feel energy flowing in a certain way, so then I decide, oh, this must be enlightenment, so now I start telling everybody I know, look, try these postures and do this oming and see if you get this energy flow, and they do, and then whatever, you know, I might, in other words, with a little bit of experience and a great deal of ignorance, start influencing other people.
Mm-hmm.
You can hurt, how you could hurt other people. Anyway. Because if,
Go ahead, Simon. No, I was just going to bring that these two important words, which are the only one of the attributes of the sensual self, and is presence and the will of attention. what would be the difference between one and the other one, according to you all?
The two skills, yeah, the presence and the will of attention.
I don't know
I
that
think
I...
the difference is that presence is present.
Yeah, I mean...
and attention is attention. The I would say that in our, what would you say, in our canon, in our, among our holy books, you know, the book that a lot of you have just gone through at length, the practical work on self addresses the use, the nurturing and the use of the will of attention, of the essential self, of the powers of attention. And there's another book called The Invocation of Presence, which reads quite differently. The whole content, the whole thrust of it is quite different from Practical Work on Self. And it addresses presence. You know, and one of the basic tools in there is the mantram or the practice, which is I invoke the presence of my presence into the present.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, so let's say, I think that means that the whole practice of presence and the discernment of presence as opposed to attention is something more subtle. It's more ethereal. It's something that takes a different kind of discernment.
It will, and it'll come to us in time. I think we're kind of running out of time on this end, but I want to close with the very last sentence in the chapter, which is, but... how can we determine without a doubt whether the machine is awake or asleep?
Ah, that's the rub.
And there's the rub. And so that's what we're left with here. That's our challenge. That's the challenge we're left with. Discernment, will of attention. So on that note, I'd like to thank everybody for coming. And Ivan, thank you for spending time with us again tonight.
Welcome.
And we look forward to seeing you next week. And next week, what's the name of the chapter on chapter 7? Did anybody happen to notice?
The name of the chapter?
Sheep.
Or maybe even the title.
It's Sheep in Sleep.
Oh, no. We'll see what that means then. So... thanks again for coming, and look forward to seeing you next week. Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night. Thanks.